Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yes, you are, ladies and gentlemen, and this is Hour 2 of 2. This is the broadcast for December the 9th of the year of our Lord, 2020. God, family, country, life, liberty, property. Those are the words that typify what this broadcast is all about. How do you protect it all, huh? That's the ultimate question. We're talking about vote fraud. It's epic. The courts seem to be slamming Donald Trump. But nevertheless, there are good things happening, and a lot of people are doing things. And one thing I will say is I don't trust the courts. I'll tell you that right now. And I don't trust Giuliani and half the people around Trump. They're swamp monsters. But I will say this. There's a lot of good people starting to stand up, and that gives me hope. Let's start on that note. Kurt wants to play a soundbite. Kurt, you want to introduce it real quick?
Well, yeah, this is a basically an interview from Newsmax TV with an host. I forget his name, but the lawyer that is being interviewed is one of the president's team. His name is Jordan Sekulow. If you're not familiar with him, Jordan Sekulow is the son of Jay Sekulow, who, in my opinion, is, they run what's called the ACLJ. Now, if you're not familiar with the ACLJ, a lot of us are familiar with the ACLU, but the ACLJ is basically kind of like just the opposite of the ACLU.
Instead of tearing down religious liberty, ladies and gentlemen, they uphold religious liberty.
That's right. And Jordan is the son, as I mentioned, of Jay. Jay Sekulow and Jordan, Jordan lives in Tennessee with his wife and, a couple of kids. So he's kind of in the, I guess you could call it the flyover country, is what they always talk about.
Yeah, like
but
the rest of us.
Jordan and Jay, participate in talk radio. They have a program called, I forget what the name of it is, but
yeah,
it's
you find that. I'll play
1,000 stations. Jay Sekulow Live is what it's called.
Yeah,
sorry about
right.
that. And on 1,000 AM and FM stations, so it's pretty well, heard on a number of places. This is one of the president's, I think one of his most trusted members of the legal team and somebody we can trust as well. And this interview, I think, is pretty useful.
Jordan Sekulow on Newsmax. By the way, I don't trust Newsmax either. Here we go.
I want to welcome a member of President Trump's legal team and the executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow. Jordan, great to have you on the program.
Great.
I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Sure.
So, Jordan, we've got the Pennsylvania case basically thrown out, but Texas and then just a snowballing effect of states
right.
joining Texas, that's got to hold weight with the Supreme Court, correct?
Well, I can already report now the Supreme Court has put on the docket that the parties, so the four states named here, Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, when you look at the states that were named, they have to now respond by Thursday at 3 p.m. to this bill of complaint, and they have to respond to very specific items. So the Supreme Court is not just considering what Texas filed today. They are now going the next step, which is saying we want a response from the states named. We want a response from Pennsylvania, from Wisconsin, from Georgia. So, again, I think it's very clear. And this is the case we've been talking
about. And the mainstream press isn't covering any of this reality. They're not talking about any of it that I know of, really.
About to reach SCOTUS. This is the outcome determinative case. 62 electoral college votes at stake. Enough to change the outcome of the election if, as you pointed out, Grant, in the relief, there's kind of two reliefs sought. One is these legislatures, which are all controlled by Republicans, can seat new electors because the elections were violated. The Electors Clause is count one, due process and equal protection in the Constitution. And because of that, they can seat new electors. If they have a problem doing that, it then goes to Congress by state delegation. And in the House, Republicans control that by 27 to 22. So it'd be Republicans choosing the next president if it had to go to the House of Representatives. This is major, though, because, Grant, the court didn't just take this and issue an order denying it or something like that, or maybe coming up with opinions later on tomorrow. They are requiring these four states to actively respond by Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern time to the allegations in this bill of complaint. And that's different than most court cases at the Supreme Court, because this is a case of original jurisdiction where the court has that original jurisdiction in the Constitution because it is state versus state.
All right, so can the court literally say this election is invalid and you need to find another way to appoint electors? I mean, is that the bottom line here? Is that what the court would end up saying if they rule in favor of the president?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the court could absolutely. I mean, listen, they've got if the equal protection, if due process was violated, if the Electors Clause in the Constitution, these are all constitutional challenges that Texas is bringing. If those were violated, it affects everyone. And in this current case, would be everyone in Texas. So, and now we're seeing, as you pointed out, all these other state AGs start adding on. And if it impacts my vote in a different state, then my equal protection rights were violated because of the irregularities, the wrongdoing, not following. I think especially the Electors Clause, which says specifically state legislatures make the rules and change the rules. That's what the Constitution says, not courts. So even though Pennsylvania, they didn't get the injunctive relief today in Congressman Kelly's case, this gives the court an opportunity to look at it on the merits. And they're going to be getting briefing on this. So now Pennsylvania is going to have to respond and say, why on earth was it okay for a court to do this when your state law and the U.S. Constitution says that you can only do this with the state legislatures? And the state law actually has even more conditions.
All right. So, Jordan, two things here. One, I worry about the time aspect of this, so I'd like to get your response to that. And the other is just flat out, everybody knows I'm a big pro-Trump guy, all right? Everybody knows they know where I want this to go. But it looks to me like it's an open and shut case when I look at judges deciding you can extend the mail-in ballots, when you look at election judges in counties saying, well, you can let this people cure ballots and these people can't cure ballots. This is open and shut constitutional violations. What am I missing here that this is going this far without a judge stepping in?
You're missing a lot of the politics of this, and ultimately what came about with all those lawsuits, even the ones that weren't successful, is the gathering of all this information that then Texas and their Attorney General Ken Paxton was able to put together in this brief. So whether or not the lawsuits were successful in a state like Michigan or Pennsylvania or Georgia, again, or Wisconsin, the four states named here, you got all this information, and it's specifically going at the heart of constitutional challenges. Now, are we up against a wall with time? Of course we are. But the Supreme Court has already noted right now, they're not worried about this today being this day that electors are selected.
Right.
They're pushing this to the 10th for the response. It's the 14th when the Electoral College votes. But as we pointed out, as Justice Ginsburg has pointed out, the real key is January 6th when Congress certifies the vote. So there is time, because this is right at the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court cannot just send this back down to the appellate courts. I think for the Newsmax audience, they need to understand this is the be-all, end-all case to determine really the outcome of this election. This is the major challenge, the one we were waiting for. It has enough electoral votes at stake to change the outcome. It is outcome determinative, and the court is deciding that they want more briefing,
Jordan.
And that is great news, Grant,
Jordan,
that the other side has to respond.
Well, it's no coincidence that we led off the top of this show with this case, and of course having you, Jordan, on the program to lay it out for us. Literally a brilliant legal mind, buddy. I appreciate you coming on the program. Good luck to the team.
Absolutely.
And keep us posted, all right? We will certainly
watch.
All right, and when it's state against state, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court has no other choice. They can't pass it to a state supreme body. They can't hand it down. Time will tell on this, but this is a huge issue in the mainstream press. is too busy telling you the you know, hey, the state got beaten in Pennsylvania. They're not really even talking about this much because they don't know what to say. This is the quintessential reality check. I'll tell you that right now. Kevin Montana, you're on the radio.
Hi, Sam. I just heard some very disturbing information. Yesterday evening, there was a person named Melissa, I can't remember her last name. She was being interviewed by Pete Santilli.
Okay.
And she was talking about how she witnessed a lot of voter fraud. I didn't hear the whole interview, but I heard about it this morning.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of this.
Yeah, though this morning there was a, I guess late last night.
There's a lady named Marticia Bomer also that literally saw and testifies and swore out an affidavit about vote fraud as well.
Yes, and I guess last night there was a person named AC. She was in the state legislature just being real hostile in the hearings in Michigan. She said that Trump supporters walk lightly, soldiers, you know what to do it, make them pay. So Pete Santilli felt very threatened and just called a few minutes ago, about an hour ago, the Michigan Police Department, or the Detroit Police Department, and he got transferred over to the Michigan State Police, and he reported the crime as a terrorist, and the lieutenant said, well, she has freedom of speech, we're investigating this, we're investigating the coworkers, and Pete said, well, if I did something, threatened someone, would you investigate my coworkers? And then the lieutenant said, well, she has freedom of speech.
Yeah, and there's a double standard said, well, you're highlighting, no doubt. Hang tight. We'll let you finish in seconds.
Okay.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin on your radio, Montana. So you're saying, hey, this is very concerning about Pete Santilli being threatened in some of these hearings in Michigan. Pete Santilli is in Michigan, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I think the threat is something serious, but the bottom line is, Kevin, there's a double standard. The liberals can threaten anybody, anytime. It's not really a problem. Now, if you or I did it, we'd go to jail in a second without even a true investigation. But let me give you the headline to make the point that Kurt brought up last hour that you need to be familiar with, and Pete needs to understand as well. Okay, listen, Schumer, that's Chuck Schumer, right? The Supreme Court and the mob, Andrew McCarthy wrote an article back in March of 2020 talking about this where, hey, you know what? Schumer literally brought in the mob and threatened the Supreme Court justices in person, literally outside of the courthouse. And there was no accountability, sir. So, you know what? This is nothing new. This is the way they roll. And this is why I say to you that maybe we've let the secret combinations get too far above the people. Maybe we've just waited too long to use the peaceful checks and balances America is known for. Kevin, final point.
Well, yeah, I just want to get Pete Santilli, by the way, is out of Ohio, but because he's a national talk show host, he felt threatened, and rightfully so. And the guy, the lieutenant, just, you know, Pete Santilli, after he asked the lieutenant on the phone, if I were to do this, you know, if I were to make a threat, would you investigate my coworker? You know, that's when the lieutenant bought up the free speech, and then Pete Santilli said something, and the lieutenant said, "Oh, now you're being stupid," and just hung up fiercely.
Yeah,
and I heard it was bad.
Well, and all I can tell you is, if it was a liberal making that claim, they'd be over there ready to arrest Pete. That's how they roll, buddy. Okay, when are people going to learn what I'm saying? You guys think I'm too extreme in my points or too negative in my views? Look, this is reality that we're facing. All right, I lost faith a long time ago, back when Hans Verlin Anderson literally indicted the Federal Reserve in a federal grand jury. And all the judge did was laugh and go, "Oh, we have a runaway grand jury," and dismissed the whole thing. All right, then Ammon Bundy rots in jail for 2 years and he's guilty of nothing. And his attorney gets tased in court. Okay, people lose their homes to the IRS all the time. You got Steve Stockman sitting in prison and Hillary and Bill Clinton running around free. I mean, what the heck's going on around here, folks? And so I don't mean to be negative, and I don't mean to be cynical, but I do mean to point out a reality check that we cannot ignore. Anything else, Kevin?
No, I just...
All right, our prayers are with Pete.
I wish more people would wake up.
Amen. Our prayers are with Pete Santilli, and we'll try to get him on to talk about it. I think he's right on the point, for sure. It is a serious, serious, serious concern, and we consider Pete a friend, for sure. And our prayers are with him. And I agree with him that it is a serious concern. I'll be the first to admit that. Kurt's got another soundbite from Arizona. Arizona chair exposes huge duplicate ballot scheme. Of course, the evidence doesn't matter. You should be aware of that. But here's the sound clip.
Duplicate ballots. We got to examine 100 of them. It's a very, very small sample. But guess what? We found two ballots that were changed. One was changed from Trump to Biden. One was just taken away from Trump for no reason that we can find an explanation for. This is good news because those media propagandists who say there's no evidence of fraud can now shut up. The bad news.
Yeah, Tucker, hold on. Tucker Carlson.
Who say there's no evidence of fraud can now shut up. The bad news is, this looks like this election has been attempted to be stolen from President Trump.
And it looks like we're going to take it back. I'm joined by Kelly Ward, chairwoman of the Arizona Republican Party. She made that video, which was retweeted by the President of the United States. Hi, how are you? Good to see you tonight.
Hey, I'm doing great. We're fighting the fight because every single avenue to make sure that our elections have integrity will be taken, will be exhausted. We will not sleep. We will not quit. We will continue to the path to make sure that we save our republic.
And another positive step that the mainstream media are either ignoring or downplaying, dismissing: the Arizona Supreme Court will hear the case.
Yes, it is. Actually, about 2 minutes ago, just as I was getting ready to go on, the Supreme Court has said, basically agreed with the lower courts. But we are evaluating what we need to do, and if we need to, we will go all the way to the United States Supreme Court, because simply saying that there's some kind of deadline that doesn't exist, as you just heard from Jason, January 20th is the only date that matters. Inauguration.
I agree it's the date that matters, but again, that's not a deadline either. If you have fraud, criminal activity taking place, and there is court cases or litigation relating criminal activity, you need to put on hold the inauguration of the president as well. So I don't even believe that's a hard deadline, ladies and gentlemen, in light of what's happening right now.
Day. So we have time to be able to look at the evidence that's before us. video showed, we found evidence that votes were changed from one guy to the other, or just taken all the away from President Trump altogether. So we deserve to be able to look at those things that Arizona lets us have. We have paper backups. We have digital images of the ballots as they were cast. We have logs of who did what and when. But we simply haven't been able to look at them because these attorneys and these judges keep saying there's just no time. Well, there is time. And so we're going to keep pushing to whatever level we need to go to make sure that we are able to tell the voters of Arizona and the voters of the United States of America that our elections have integrity.
Can you say that again, though, at the start? 2 minutes ago, Supreme Court said they agree with the lower court. I don't think that's a good thing. And so we're going to have to fight this all the way up to the Supreme Court, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right. We're looking at it. We're looking at the whole reading because I haven't had a chance to even look at the reading. My attorney just sent me a text right before I came on and said they ruled exactly as we thought that they probably would. Same ruling as the lower court, that we don't have time and they don't see enough evidence of any kind of misbehavior. Even if there's human error in a race that has a 0.3% margin, you have to look for it because we have to make sure that the right guy, President Trump, in my opinion, gets those electoral votes so that we send the right person to the White House for the next 4 years. In my opinion, that is President Donald J. Trump.
Hey, what was the biggest problem? You mentioned some things in that video at the top, but the number one concern you have in Arizona, what wasn't kosher?
Well, there were so many things. It's basically innumerable. But for tonight, I will tell you that we were talking about the duplicated ballots. So the ballots that have some kind of damage or they can't be read by the machine for whatever reason, those ballots are set aside. And then a human from the elections department fills them in. They create a duplicate for the voter. Now, they're supposed to create it exactly as the voter created it himself or herself. However, we found a 3% swing for President Trump whenever we just looked at 100 ballots out of nearly 2 million. There are over 1.9 million.
Now, let me pause. When she says we found a swing for Trump, what she's talking about is the re-look or the investigation found a swing for Trump. What really happened is there was a swing for Biden in the results that they're counting. And she's saying when we reviewed it, the opposite should take place.
Early ballots, absentee ballots, 28,000 of them were duplicated. Over 200,000 of them were digitally adjudicated. We haven't been able to look at one ballot, not one, that was digitally adjudicated. So I wonder what we would find, and I wonder why people want to stop us from looking, because we need sunlight on this process. We've got millions of people in our own state and millions, tens of millions of people, over 80 million people who are questioning the results, the validity of this election. This is an American republic. We owe it to the people out there, the voters, the citizens of the United States, to do this right, to take our time, and to look at everything we have to be able to reassure them.
I totally agree. And I spent too much time in the military for Rahm Emanuel and Tom Perez and whoever else might have had a hand in swinging this thing the wrong way. By the way, I'm very fond of Arizona. I lived in Yuma, the southwest corner of the state, for 4 years. Not even on the map on my map, but right about there. It's a great, great place.
Sounds like a military placement. And my husband served for 33 years honorably in our military. We love our military. We love our freedom. And we're going to keep fighting for it.
Excellent. Yes, there's a big Marine base. That's where I served.
All right, there you have it, Kurt. There's the summary of that one. These are serious situations. And one of the things that surprises me is in that interview, they didn't mention that the FBI literally has raided a home for election data that was stolen. Ladies and gentlemen, how can we ignore that? And how come not even the conservative media seems to be talking about that? That raises the level, not only beyond just vote irregularities, to literal criminal activity surrounding our sacred elections.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Los Angeles Superior Court Judge James Chalfant is helping shuttered restaurant owners with his ruling Tuesday. The judge ruled Los Angeles County health officials acted arbitrarily and without a proper risk-benefit analysis when they banned outdoor dining as a China virus control measure. When he asked LA County health officials for science behind their lockdown order, they had no science or studies. The decision won't immediately restore in-person dining. The Supreme Court on Tuesday denied a request from Pennsylvania Republicans to block certification of Commonwealth's election results, but the Supreme Court did move on a motion by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. His complaint on Tuesday says four swing states exploited the COVID-19 pandemic to justify ignoring federal and state election laws and unlawfully enacting last-minute changes. Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin have until Thursday to respond to the bill of complaint. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change, not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I'd have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50, and, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
Axios reported on Monday that a Chinese spy named Fang Fang, or Christine Fang, targeted up-and-coming local politicians, including Democrat congressman from California, Eric Swalwell. It's suspected Fang was gathering intel for China as she courted and slept with up-and-coming politicians. Swalwell refused to discuss his relationship with Fang after the publication reported that she had sexual relations with at least two other politicians. In his defense, Mr. Swalwell blamed President Trump. The Trump administration, trying to get a COVID-19 stimulus package done, on Tuesday offered a $916 billion package to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that would send a $600 direct payment to most Americans. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin made the offer to Pelosi late Tuesday afternoon. Democrat Chuck Schumer immediately rejected the offer. Nancy Pelosi also blasted McConnell's offer as an attempt to undercut the bipartisan group. A rare Tuesday night football game saw the Ravens beat the Cowboys 34-17. This is USA Radio News.
All right. You know, we're spending a lot of time on this election thing, and some people say that, hey, stick a fork in it, it's over. Never, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't trust the Supreme Court. I don't trust Rudy Giuliani. And I don't trust the swamp, and that's why I'm saying, hey, Trump's going to lose. I just feel like that's going to happen. I pray that's not true, and I don't mean to be negative in pointing out that I think so, but I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to face reality about how much we've let secret combinations get above the people. We've got to face reality about, look, we've allowed fraud and criminal activity to go on in America for a long time. I mean, what, 4+ years ago, we were chanting lock her up regarding Hillary Clinton? We haven't even begun to even investigate enough to have a fair trial and a due process of law and convict Hillary. Okay? You've got situations where, hey, Barack Obama literally spied on Donald Trump's campaign. No problem. You've got literally all kinds of criminal activity going on, but there's been no accountability. Now they're saying, oh, we got to look into Hunter Biden. Don't you think looking into Hunter Biden right now is a day late and a dollar short? I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. But I'm saying, you know what, that should have been done months ago when we heard about Hunter's scandals, not after his dad becomes president. Once his dad becomes president, we won't have a chance. He'll just pardon his son, won't he? See, we've got serious problems, folks. And I appreciate that everybody's worried about vote fraud, Kelly in Arizona and others. But you know what? We're taking this on way later than we should. President Trump put together 4 years ago a vote fraud panel to deal with this stuff. But it just got shut down and disbanded. I don't even know why or how or what or whatever. Okay? But the media, as Kelly wisely points out, is one of the great problems. All right? In fact, it's so bad David Kapilian at WND.com writes about it. Kurt?
Well, that's correct, Sam. And his piece is entitled "The Biggest Election Fraud of All." Subheadline, "How Angry, Entitled, and Shockingly Dishonest Journalists Are Destroying America." And let's see, I mean, it's a pretty lengthy piece.
Right. And the key takeaway from this is, you know, the world, WND.com has been highlighting the problems in the media. I wouldn't say as much as I have, but they've done more than others by far. And David Kapilian has been one of the key writers about this. And look, Kurt, when you have the courts in bed with the state governors, in bed with the media, in bed with these two-party systems, I don't know how, with those secret combinations above us, we get truth and transparency and accountability. And until we start arresting people, or until there's accountability with impeachment or some of the remedies that our founding fathers put forward, some of the checks and balances, I just don't see how we can win. Because the swamp is literally thumbing their nose at us now and laughing and going, "You idiots following Trump. You know, and they mock us. They're mocking honesty. They're mocking transparency. They're allowing the COVID to, you know, combine with global warming, to combine with the deep state, to combine with the swamp, the media. And so I don't mean to be negative, but this article is huge by David Kapilian, and it documents a lot of the details. His main point, the biggest election fraud, exactly how these right. Angry journalists are peddling the porn.
Yep, yep. And he outlines the fact that there's so much of this big money owned by gigantic companies. He talks about AT&T owning CNN, Comcast owns NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, Disney owns ABC and ESPN, Viacom, CBS owns CBS, Amazon's Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. They all have huge stakes, he says, in China. And he says that might help explain why, for example, the media coverage of China's role in the coronavirus pandemic is so bizarrely absent. Credible reports from courageous Chinese virologists and other experts with intimate knowledge of the origins who claim China intentionally created the virus in a lab are ignored or dismissed as insane conspiracy theories. And he gives a lot of other examples. Like I say, it's just a long, long bunch. But, you know, he's given good evidence that of what he has to say and how that the media is basically an enemy. It makes me think of the days of old, Sam, when we were told about the intellectual prostitutes. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what we're dealing with here, I guess. Once again, right?
Yes. Don't know what to think about it.
One thing I will say,
and I know you're frustrated, Sam, with me saying that our odds are so slim on this, Kurt. Not because the truth isn't with President Trump, okay, but because of how corrupt our system has become. Okay, the courts are rotten to the core. I mean, they're the ones that have literally sanctioned the murdering of babies to the tune of 60 million. And it was a Republican court that done it. And now today we have a majority Republican court, and we're not even talking about it, really, as far as I can see. And so, you know, I just don't trust these people, and I'm very concerned. That doesn't mean that I don't have hope. I have hope in God. And I have hope in the American people. My biggest hope is that the American people can get the information they need, because I believe the people will choose right, Kurt, when they get the opportunity. As you mentioned many times, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of wonderful things. But how do we get the information to the people? How do we get our newscast? How do we let people know about, you know, Kelly's appearance and this attorney, Mr. Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow's appearance? How do we let people know about the court cases that are going on? How do we let people know the FBI is literally investigating in Arizona because information was stolen? How do we know about Sidney Powell's information suggesting the constitutional remedy is impeachment if the courts don't, you know, do their due diligence on this thing? How do we let people know about Schumer literally calling in the mob to threaten the Supreme Court? How do we let the people know about, I mean, I'm just talking about today's stuff. Sam Bushman was guest on Cliff Kincaid's USASurvival.org video program. How do we let people know about that?
Well, in my opinion, I'll tell you, and the answer is go into your own words, Sam. You have told us many times that the new media has taken center stage. And the fact is, it's true that we wish there was more of us, you know, that kind of thing. But when you look at, for example, let's just look at that little YouTube piece, you know, where we're talking about Jordan Sekulow. And it, according to YouTube, and then you kind of wonder about these numbers too, but it says that it has 319,000 views in 12 hours. Now, I know that's not 319 million, Sam, but it is, according to them, 319,000. And if I, you know, will suggest to you that people like Jordan Sekulow and Jay Sekulow have thousands of stations that hear them, and, you know, you add them up with the work that we do, Loving Liberty Radio Network, and the different associates that we know about. You mentioned Cliff Kincaid and these different people. Then I believe there's a, at least you could say, a small group of people that are very well informed and understand what's going on and are there to make a difference. Now, in this piece from the biggest election fraud of all that you mentioned, that from Jay. Let's see, what's his name? Anyway, from WorldNet Daily, I forget the author. Anyway, in it, we were talking about these gigantic companies. And before I mentioned that, I was thinking about, you know, the Bible and the story about the giant, you know, Goliath, and how David and Goliath, you know, if you looked at that picture and stuff, you would have thought, there's no chance. I mean, it's just this giant dealing with David. You know, why in the world would you ever even have hope or faith in that? And yet, in the end, with God's help, David prevailed and the giant was slain. And I believe the same thing can happen here. And I pray for it and work for it and want to have continual hope in it and move forward, as the Savior said, be of good cheer and, you know, continue in your efforts on a regular basis. You know,
we're of good cheer and we're certainly working on it. And we certainly know God can do miracles, but miracles depend upon faith. And people need to have faith for God to do miracles. And faith precedes the miracle, if you will. And, you know, right now, I don't believe Americans are focusing on their faith by and large. Now, there's several of us who are, and there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things, and hopefully that'll be enough. My point is we need more. And the good news is more people are getting involved. The good news is more people are waking up. The good news is the new media is taking center stage. The good news is we're learning that he who owns the media makes the rules. The good news is, well, Matt Staver chimes in, Kurt. I emailed you this one. Shocking proof of a broken election system, writes Matt Staver. He's the LC Action Chairman with LC.org. He's one of the big attorneys, in my opinion, that's really moving the needle on this thing. But he doesn't get credit, Kurt, like others do. He's not in the limelight. He's working so hard behind the scenes. But in my opinion, he's one of the most credible people involved in this fight. Justly so. We'll give you details from his email in seconds. As Liberty Roundtable Live continues on your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use radio station.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, so Matthew Staver, well-known attorney at Liberty Counsel, says this: shocking proof of a broken election system. Now listen to this. He further says there's a fire hose of information about election fraud. We are working on unraveling the greatest crime in America. I think he's right about that, Kurt. You want to fill us in on the rest?
Yeah, and it goes on. It says, we will race through some of the highlights below. And this was yesterday. He says, today's Safe Harbor Day, which acts as a warning to the states to have their affairs in order before the Electoral College vote next week. But nothing, and he puts that in big letters, is in order in the swing states of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona. And I think you might even add Nevada, but anyway, it says there are two major paths forward for President Trump, one through the legislatures and the other through the courts. Our staff is still advising in Pennsylvania, where a resolution has already been introduced to block the certification. Other states may follow suit. Time is of the essence, and he says testimony in Georgia included a number of explosive revelations. A director of external affairs, Jessica Corbett Dominguez, admitted that there were two mobile units, that I haven't heard this anywhere else, which allowed voting wherever the unit was parked in Atlanta. She let slip that these units were Wi-Fi enabled. This means the registered lists and voting results were in an open Wi-Fi, which is susceptible to hacking. But it gets much worse, Matt Staver says from Liberty Counsel. Susan Boyles, V-O-Y-L-E-S, a polling location manager, testified that when her polling location displayed the wrong list of voters, the Dominion office in Colorado appeared to do a screen share right in front of her own eyes to change the list. Quote, or it says in parentheses, the Colorado office controlled the computerized system in Atlanta through an internet-enabled connection. And in parentheses, this directly counters the Dominion talking points that these computers are not connected to the internet and cannot be hacked. The question remains, what are you going to do about it? He says, the internet allowed access to, is deeply concerning, especially when it's combined with other technical facts. We've seen sworn testimony, which includes screenshots and data tracking analysis from cybersecurity experts who were able to capture server IDs and link to Dominion voting systems via their tabulation partner, Edison Research, says, though, now get this part, though the company claims it has no foreign servers, the evidence now shows active servers in Germany, Serbia, and Iran. Now, have you heard Serbia and Iran from
anywhere
else? Yeah, of
course. Yep. If you,
I haven't heard.
Because I've been watching Matt Staver and reading all of his articles, Kurt.
But what I mean is any other, you know, like source, like World Net Daily, I haven't even heard from them.
No, but I've heard Matt talking about this quite a bit. And here's the thing. If you think of it as we're in a global government, Kurt, there's nothing that's foreign anymore. Right?
Very good, Sam.
If there's no countries and no borders, which is what they want, and it's a global government, then there is no foreign servers, Kurt.
Yeah, and he goes on, he says, the mounting evidence is critical because of the implications of fraud and malfeasance go far beyond this single election. He says, another revelation deeply concerns me. While so-called fact-checkers have claimed Dominion voting system has no foreign investment, that too is a lie. According to the Office of U.S. Patents, China holds the liens on several Dominion software patents, including the patent on election software security. In parentheses, the Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation is acting as the collateral agent in this case. In parentheses, as the lien holder, China would have access to proprietary information, including the specific computer coding language. To summarize, he says, we now know that China likely understands the code language of our voting system better than Americans do. We know that the system was supported and housed by servers in Iran and Serbia, and we know that on election day, voting systems were accessed through the internet by IT staff from six states away. And in locations in both Michigan and Georgia, we know that Trump votes were changed to Biden votes. He says this cannot be allowed to proceed unchallenged. He says Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has ordered an answer to the election case in Pennsylvania. This is a very critical case. It's essential to demand answers before the evidence disappears and information is discarded. The worst possible outcome is for both sides to believe that they won. Nothing could push our nation closer to civil unrest. And then he calls for support for Liberty Council action, and I agree with him.
I support them completely, and I think they're one of the best attorneys on this with some of the most details that is not getting out, as far as I can tell, through anybody but us and Matt Staver's radio show. And, you know, we need a lot more work on it. But let me give you an example, Kurt. While Matt struggles for funds, while Sidney Powell struggles for funds, while, you know what, pardon the phrase, but hey, while Liberty Roundtable and Liberty News Radio struggle for funds, I mean, hey, if I didn't fund it with my own dollars, we'd be off the air long ago, Kurt. And I look at that and I go, wow, here's what the mainstream press is doing. Howard Stern, Kurt, is reportedly making $100 million a year under his current five-year contract. But he just renewed his contract for five more years to $120 million, experts are saying. Of course, the deal was not disclosed in terms of the finances there, but Howard Stern making between 100 and 120 million, and they just extended his contract, and XM satellite radio has been, you know, propped up for decades, but now it's on turbo with Howard Stern. He says, thank heavens I'm freed from terrestrial radio. They've taken the shackles off me. Me and co-host Robin are doing great. We can say what we want. We can, and this is what America backs with big money. And you could say, well, Americans aren't backing that, Sam. It's this corporation. Yeah, but they get their money from somewhere. They get their money from advertisers, the big corporations. They get their money from the listeners. They've obviously got enough listeners or they couldn't justify Howard Stern's show. You don't pay somebody $20 million, $24 million a year on a very unique vertical channel like satellite radio unless it's bringing in money. And so as a result, that's what Americans primarily prizes their media. You got CNN doing great. You got The New York Times doing great. You got Howard Stern doing phenomenal. And the rest of us, man, we don't even get table scraps, really. So that's where the battle resides, Kurt. But don't worry. All is well. The Conservative Political Action Conference, Kurt, you're going to go in 2021? They say CPAC is hosted by the American Conservative Union. It'll be held in person in Orlando, Florida in 2021. That's according to Fox News. In 2021. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Very good, Sam.
You going to go to CPAC?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I've already got my ticket. And
really?
Know, just
Man, I didn't know you knew the venue so early. You were in on the inside.
Well, you know me. I mean, yeah, I'm an insider. I mean, you know, in fact, I even scheduled this meeting and planned it and put it together. And, you know, I mean, it's everything is because of what I do.
Yeah, they say CPAC is a four-day event. It'll be at the Hyatt Regency in Orlando, Florida, Kurt. The in-person conference will be from February 25th through the 28th. And they say, but don't worry, it'll have several virtual components as well if you don't feel comfortable going. But CPAC is moving from Maryland to Florida, Kurt. So there you have that. I just thought I'd make you feel better about the, you know, that happening. Are you, you know, I got to go, Kurt. I know you kind of mock it, but I think you got to go cover it live, buddy. I can hold down the studio and you can roll in there and cover it live, buddy. What do you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, I'll be there probably just selling honey out front. You know, I mean.
You can't sell honey out front, Curtie. You can't be a reporter inside, my friend.
Well,
it isn't all about the money sometimes, Kurt. You got to step aside.
It isn't all about the money. I thought it was all about the money.
It's about trying to, you know, grow the media.
That's just the way I do, you know, things is I focus on the money, you know, all the time. I mean, it's just.
Well, don't stay out there selling honey, Kurt. You got to go inside the venue, buddy, and report live.
Mm-hmm, of course.
All right. You mentioned that you had an email for the American Family Association. I'm on their list, but, you know, I didn't get that one yet, Kurt. Well, ooh, it just came in.
You get thousands that pour in your place. You know, in fact, you get hundreds a day, according to what you said.
Oh, yeah.
But the headline from
don't you get hundreds of emails a day, Kurt?
From the American Family Association?
No, I get several a day from them. I don't get hundreds from them. I get hundreds of emails.
I get several a day. I just get one maybe every week or so. But anyway, it says...
All right, what's this one called?
They recommend urge attorney generals to join Texas AG Paxton's election lawsuit. And they're saying that the Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is leading the nation to preserve the 2020 election integrity for our nation's constitutional republic. Attorney General Paxton is to be highly commended for filing a federal election lawsuit against states he rightfully claims have violated federal election requirements for the presidential election. He filed his lawsuit in the U.S. Supreme Court against the states of Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. They say take action now, contact and urge your state's attorney general to join the lawsuit against the unconstitutional actions of these defendant states.
Amen to AFA. We support them completely. AFA Action Alert doing a phenomenal job. Urge your state to join Paxton of Texas's attorney general lawsuit against these states that manipulated their elections unconstitutionally, against the law before the elections. Join, encourage your attorney general, your state AG, to go ahead and help file the lawsuit. I completely agree. You think Utah, where we live, Kurt, is going to get it done?
Well, I know a while back there was a report that our attorney general was basically helping the president's team. And so, you know, I don't know for sure about the Utah attorney general, exactly what's going on. I haven't heard much about him, which probably means he's doing some really good stuff. I mean, you wouldn't hear much if he was doing good. You'd hear him if he was doing bad.
Yeah, we pray that our state will join, and we pray that more and more and more states will jump on, and we pray that the Supreme Court is forced, you know, to take a real look at this. And, you know, I pray that I'm wrong. I pray that Kurt's right and that I'm wrong, and that we really get to the bottom of this thing and we have truth and accountability and the American way starts to shine, and we pull down power and secret combinations, and we support honesty and integrity in our elections. And, man, I pray for that. I work towards that. I bring every piece of information I can to advocate for that to the table. By the way, Kurt, we're thinking about launching some video stuff. What do you think?
Well, with the pile of money that we've got, I mean, you know, it's...
I don't have any money, Kurt. I'm not selling honey.
Oh, that's
so right. I don't have a lot of money, but I got some time and I got some talent. And we might bring some weekly videos together. I might stand and deliver weekly videos, summary of the stories we do on the radio. Email me, libertyroundtable@gmail.com. Do you think it's a good idea? Is it worth my time? It does take work and money to get this stuff done, though. I'll tell you that right now. All right, good work. Thank you, Kurt. For Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.